What's up, everyone? This is a review for episode 5 of The Last of Us. I'm Michael, joined here by Tama.
What's up?
And full disclosure, I've watched 5 and 6, but Tama is only watching 5 and 6 today, so we're going to do a video now. Bryson and Anthony are bitches.
Yeah, they didn't even want to come.
So it's just me and Tama.
Party for two.
Party for two.
Just the way I like it.
But yeah, Tama, what was your initial reaction to episode 5, Endure and Survive?
So my initial reaction, so the episode opened up, you know, in the past, right?
Right.
So that's how the episode opened up. And, you know, I don't know if I missed it or if I just didn't see it, but did it say like 10 years ago or something like that, or 20 years ago? Or
I think there was a like, it had a days mark. Like, it was like, I think it was like 15 and then it went 10.
Okay. Yeah, because I missed that part. But I like how they kind of expanded on that doctor guy.
Right.
When they first showed that doctor guy, I did not care about him at all.
Right.
Because he was just a guy that just gets shot. But after seeing what he did, damn. It reminded me, like how I said when we're watching it, it reminded me of, like, you know, Nazi Germany, and the people would hide the Jews in their attics and whatnot. Yeah. And the, you know, I don't know if that doctor guy was Jewish or not, but just like the kind of like the reflection of that on history was pretty cool. And I felt bad after,
yeah,
you know, that the doctor guy, you know, went out of his way to help Henry and Sam, and that freaking girl, what was her name? Kathleen?
Yeah.
Basically, like, discount Umbridge. Those are the kind of people that literally the apocalypse is meant to take out.
Right. Yeah, like, I think if we were to rewatch, like, maybe episode 4, watching the doctor scene now would probably be so much more meaningful now that we have some little back history of what happened. And this episode actually filled a lot of gaps because we got to see who the doctor was. We got to see how Henry and Sam snuck up on Ellie and Joel. And then we also got a little backstory of how Kathleen is in power right now. Because the thing we mentioned this too in the early reactions, we were like, how is she? Like, she's not intimidating. Obviously, people are afraid of her and stuff. But it was like, I wasn't buying her character as the leader of this big bad people who took down Fedra. And in this episode, we find out the backstory of how Henry's the brother, right? The big brother.
Yeah.
Henry's older brother. Basically turned over the real leader of the rebellion, Star Wars.
Resistance.
And it was Kathleen's brother.
Yeah.
And he basically traded it for some medicine for leukemia for Sam, which makes sense from his point of view. Anyone would do that for a family member.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, sister, it doesn't really matter. I feel like he did what he had to do to survive and have his brother survive, and I don't blame him. But I think me and you mentioned this during the episode. We're talking about this, how Kathleen is basically, if she didn't die, her days as the leader was pretty much numbered because she's not powerful, and it's basically, she's only as powerful as her right-hand man, which is the guy who voiced Tommy.
Yep.
And take one of them out, and it's just basically a free army for you.
Yeah, and like, she literally had no plan.
Yeah.
Her whole plan from when they took over was to get Henry and Sam.
Yeah.
That was their whole plan. What was the name of the character who the guy who voiced Tommy played?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, but he was voicing some real concerns about, like, you know, that shouldn't be our priority. We need to figure out, like, you know,
food. Basically using too much resources.
Yeah,
we're using, searching for this one guy.
Yeah, we're using too much man and resources when we need to do other things. And she's like, I don't care. So, like, even if she got her revenge, I don't think she would have been able to take care of the whole community. The community would have either imploded, where they would, you know, fight amongst each other, or they would have just died out completely.
Yeah. And the one thing HBO and The Last of Us taught us is don't like characters.
Yes.
Because when you like them, they're gone.
They're gone. They're gone.
The one thing I will say, though, is I'm happy that they're not one of those shows who fake deaths or... every episode, you're on your edge. You're like, you don't know. Everyone's freaking free game. Like, anyone could die.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that because some shows will do things where they do, like, a fake death. Like, oh, like, they won't show it. And then later on, they're alive.
Yeah, like, well, didn't that happen in Game of Thrones a couple times?
Yeah. They kind of, like, do, like, a bait and switch.
Yeah. Like, they die, but then something happens. Oh, they're not actually dead. Or, like I get it. Dramatic effect, whatnot. But it feels more real when it's permanent.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it's like, I wouldn't say this was like that episode was the best episode, but it was pretty damn good episode, solid episode.
Oh yeah, I would definitely rank it up there in the top three.
The show writers, they're so good at like painting the stories for us.
Oh yeah, like whoever these like writers are, they need to get more money for this because the writing for the show, because it's so hard to adapt a video game to a show. There's not too many great examples. There have been some that have been coming out recently that have been getting better. Like Detective Pikachu has been super popular. You know, they have the new Super Mario Bros. Movie that's coming out. Hopefully it's good, even though I'm not really stoked about the voice. But like, you know, the writing itself supposedly is getting better and better because video game movies were always cheesy before. It was always cheesy and not taken seriously, but this is a very serious show and I'm really into it right now so far.
I do just want to mention, I looked it up, Jeffrey Pierce, who is the voice of Tommy, he plays Perry in the show.
Okay, Perry. Yeah, okay, that's Perry. The name, Perry.
Oh, well, Perry has an interesting death.
Oh, that was a fucking interesting
death. I meant to ask you, does in the game, do bloaters rip people apart like that?
So usually, I can't remember exactly, but normally when you fight them, you're not fighting other humans at the same time. So the bloaters, if I remember right, if they get you, they rip you apart.
Okay, that makes sense. That's all I know to make sure because I was wondering because we see these regular zombies. And they don't seem like they're at smart. They're kind of autopilot.
Yeah.
But that bloater seemed like it was an educated.
Yeah, it seemed like it had like a little bit more knowledge. Like he knew to go after that one guy that was shooting him.
Yeah.
And then he knew. And like, if you look at the way the bloater was fighting in that scene, he wasn't biting them or whatever. He literally punched them and threw them.
Is a bloater a stage above a clicker?
So from what I remember from the video game, the bloater is basically a stage above the clicker, but it's like a end stage where they didn't get to the point or they can't get to the point where they spore out.
Yeah.
You know, how we've seen in some of the earlier episodes where the infected were like stuck to the walls and the mushroom the fungus spreads and stuff. Yeah. So from what I remember from the video game is that they're basically they can't get to that stage, so they keep mutating. That's why the mushroom covers their entire body. That's why their armor is so thick. That's why they can take so much rounds, and that's why they're so big. It's not necessarily that they were big to begin with, but just so much mushroom has accumulated on their body that they just become massive.
I see. Yeah, because I just want to give a shout out to HBO also. It's like, for using practical, if you watch the behind the scenes after the episode, they actually showed that they hired so much stunt people in the background to get the movements down correctly and everything. So they have been practicing with their movements, moving like a zombie. And then I was showing you talking about the picture of the bloater and how they basically had a suit and how they worked on a man. I know it's expensive, but I'm glad they did it. Like, they literally did all of that just for a 5 minutes of screen time, basically.
But it was one of the best 5 minutes of time.
From the time that truck went into the hole, and then you just hear the slow growling.
Yeah.
And then
it's
like, holy crap, all these, there's so much of them, and then all you hear is a bigger growl, and you're like, what?
And to think that's all, like, actual people acting it out. And if you watch the background, if you're looking at the foreground, you're missing a lot in the background. But if you watch the background a little bit, you can see all these background characters, human and infected, they're playing their roles perfectly. It's like watching a choreographed dance.
Yeah.
And everyone's hitting their cues like perfectly. And it's just imagine how difficult that is. Just try get like three of your friends together and get them to coordinate just three movements.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you gotta struggle.
You guys should see us trying to coordinate the intro of this episode.
Oh god.
No, but I felt like the way Kathleen that was so fitting.
Oh, that was the best part.
It annoyed me how I understand she's coming from a perspective of anger, but how she was just like, you can't play God. He's just a kid. Maybe he was meant to die. I'm like, maybe your fucking brother was meant to die.
Exactly. Like who said that your brother, and your brother, literally the brother told her to forgive.
Yeah.
Let it go. It's not worth it, pretty much. But she's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't respect you enough to listen to you. I'm just going to get revenge.
The thing is, though, that it's realistic, though, because there are people like that who they'll hold on to things. And if it comes to a point in an apocalyptic world, stuff like that will happen. And there will be people who, like her, who hold grudges. And that's real life. But it's like, yeah, it's like, come on, man. It's a kid. And the irony is a kid killed her.
Yeah. That is the best irony.
I don't know what it is. So you see all these, you see the bloaters, you see all this stuff. For some reason, a kid zombie is just freaky.
It's the scariest one, right?
Yeah.
It's the scariest one.
And I don't know who played the girl, but her movements are so great too.
I'm either going to say she's a gymnast or she's a dancer.
She could be CGI too. I don't know.
I honestly don't think they would have.
It kind of reminds me of how when the person came out of the ring, the TV.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, I see what you're saying. But all the movements that they did in that show too was real movements.
Yeah.
So I can see how you might think it looks fake, but I can also see that someone actually doing it.
Yeah. Exactly. Even if it was CGI, it could be motion capture, how they did like Planet of the Apes, how they were in all those dots.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like you said, either way, it's gotta be a real person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But just to be the little girl who plays that, that's some talent right there.
Yeah.
That's some talent. Like I hope she does more stuff like when she gets older.
And then the sad part of the episode, like we were saying. When I watched it, I had a feeling, but I didn't know for a fact that Sam or Henry might not make it. But you played the game, so you knew it was coming. How was the death, even though you knew it was coming?
It was still traumatizing. Like I knew it was gonna happen. They kind of played it very similar to how the game played it, but. The whole interactions with Ellie and Sam, and then Henry and Joel, and how they're like, okay, you guys want to come with us to Wyoming? We're gonna be heading out that way, and you know, Henry's like, yeah, I think Sam, you know, could use a friend, and then to see that, and the fact that Ellie tried to save him, she had no idea if it would work. She just had to try.
I saw people online saying like, what a stupid girl, that actually wouldn't work. I'm like, she's a kid. You think about it from a kid perspective, she doesn't know. That makes sense. That makes sense because that's what a kid would do.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to be like, actually, in fact, I might actually try it too. If I had immunity, I would, because you don't know how it works. You're immune and no one even knows how your immunity works. Who knows? Maybe you should have fed him your blood too.
No, yeah, because that's, if you think about it, even if you're thinking about it in a, like a slightly scientific way, that's essentially how they make like anti-venom and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they poison certain things, which makes anti-venom.
Yeah.
And then they take that anti-venom, and then that's the thing that they use for the stuff. And so what Ellie was doing could have been right, but maybe it wasn't enough.
Yeah. Or maybe it should have been applied to the blood directly or something.
Or maybe inject it in.
Yeah, make another cut and then let the body fight or something. We don't know. But did Sam die the same way? Like how like in the game, did he die with the same scene where how he was just sitting there when she woke up?
Yeah, so essentially that whole part from when she woke up to when Henry actually pulled the trigger was pretty much how it went down.
Yeah.
She woke up, he was at the end of the bed, not looking. She goes up to him, and then he just pounces.
Dude, the way the acting by the guy who played Henry in that scene was so great. Because if he didn't act well in that scene, it's not really an emotional scene, but his holding the gun at Joel, because you gotta think about it, everything's happened in a split second for him. he's like holds a gun towards Joe, shoots a grab by Joe, and then he kills his brother. And then the look on his face is he's totally in shock. Like, what the fuck did I just do?
Yeah, he didn't even realize what he did.
Yeah.
It was all instinctual.
Yeah. And then he just like shoots himself, and it's like, crap, man. The amount of emotion he threw it, but the way he acted the scene was so perfect.
Yeah, it felt real. And that's what makes the scene so strong.
Yeah.
Cause you can feel in the moment he had no idea what was happening. His brain just went into autopilot and he just went to save Ellie.
Yeah.
And then only after the shock started to wear off, he realized what was happening and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And the burial scene, gosh, it's like, it's interesting because you see, like, they're not saying anything, but you see the emotion, especially in Joe. It's like he's finally, like, I mentioned during the scene where the sniper.
Yeah.
Old episode one, Joe, when I went in there and I shot him, no questions, nothing. He would have shot him. But Joe pleaded, like, just hand over the gun. Like, come on. Like, he pleaded, and he gave every chance, and he killed him. And then now you see him from the beginning of episode, he's like, no, they're not going to come with us. We're going to do this on our own, whatever, whatever.
And then Ellie was like, nah, this is how it goes. Yeah. He says no at first, but that's exactly what's happening because he's opening up.
Yeah.
Like how we said in the previous episode reviews that Ellie is starting to break through that shell he built over himself.
The impression I got too from after Ellie walks away from the burial with the I'm sorry, which was totally sad.
Oh.
Joel staring in the grave, the facial expression of Joel, the impression I got was he's realizing he's vulnerable. He's finally vulnerable for the first time in 20 years since Sarah died. He let people in and he has a loss. It's like, I don't want to say it's as powerful, but it kind of is. This loss is more meaningful to him than it was for Tess because he's opening up so much more than he did with Tess.
Oh, yeah.
And
because even though he was with Tess, he still had his walls up
the
whole even time.
Like, just alone with a scene where they're inside of that, it looked like an old preschool underground. When he's talking to Henry, the conversation they had about how Henry explained what happened and Joe's acceptance of him, it seemed like he was finally like opening himself up to like, you know what, this guy can be my friend.
No, yeah, like the fact that he found out that he was a collaborator, that Henry is a collaborator, which essentially makes him a snitch.
Which he wasn't for at first.
No, yeah, which he wasn't at, because he most likely was part of the resistance beforehand, because he knew who the resistance leader was and all that stuff. But the fact that Joel was able to hear him out, understand, and kind of process it, not blame him, but not all, at the same time, not saying that he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Because, like, from different points of view, he did the right thing, but he also did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So there could have been other ways to do it, but he didn't have the time to think about it.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, this is a solid episode.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to watch episode 6. I'm watching for the second time, Thomas first time, and then we're going to record another one after this.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
This show so far, I was killing it.
It's the best series that I would watch. Like, compared to like the other Marvel shows that come out, like those were all good shows, but this is the only show so far that got me emotionally invested.
So far, this is 5 straight episodes of just like solid episodes.
Oh yeah, there hasn't been a bad one yet.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back in a little bit.
Shoots.